rough life. I feel like every episode I start off with like, oof, what a week. But this was actually a really good week. It took us until the very last minute to find enough fosters, but everyone is getting to go plus two add-ons. And things just really seem to be working out this week. It is technically the night before transport, though, so I am really hoping I didn't just jinx it all by saying that and transport's going to be a disaster, but I'll keep you posted. I did not do the names this week, so you cannot come for me if you don't like your foster's name. This was all Jenny and Jacqueline, and I'm about 99% sure that they just made up some of these names in an attempt to get me to embarrass myself by pronouncing them. But joke's on them. I will only be saying the first name for these animals, not these insane last names that I have no idea how to pronounce. The theme is Moss Universe. I guess that's an author. Apparently, Wolf Trap North has enough time to read up there, which must be nice, while we're down here covered up in puppies. Okay, let's jump into the stories. Wingspan has been in foster care since he was about 6 weeks old. Maybe a week or two older than that. I'm not totally sure. He was part of a litter of six. Another rescuer asked one of their fosters if they would foster this litter of six. They agreed. A few weeks later, the rescuer came and they got the three females from the litter and they sent them to a northern rescue. And that was that. Never came back for the three males. Never said another word about them again. The foster got them all of their vaccines, their monthly preventions, and neutered them with her own money and has been trying to find other rescues to take them. Unfortunately, by the time she realized she even needed to be looking for other rescues and that the girl had just dumped them on her, they were already 6 months old, which is considered adults in the rescue world, and everybody knows it is significantly harder to get adult dogs into rescue. So she has had them since February 2024. Now, why are we taking one? Well, last November, maybe October, I don't totally remember, someone found the cutest mangy beagle, soaking wet, walking down the road. They posted her on Facebook looking for a rescue. I had absolutely nowhere to put her, no open fosters, no way to bring this contagious dog home with my 8-month-old baby. But people kept tagging me in it because anyone who knows me knows that I love beagles and I love mange dogs. And a mangy beagle is my kryptonite. Well, I made the comment on the post saying any of my people who were all the ones tagging me, any of my people that found someone to foster this dog until it could go to Wolf Trap would get a one-time free pull anything you want card. So you find a foster for the beagle and I'll send whatever half-dead, heartworm positive, vicious, two-legged, no eyeballs, dog aggressive, chihuahua. I was going to say pit bull, but honestly a chihuahua is way scarier than a pit bull. So immediately after commenting that, I deeply regretted it because there was no telling what in the world I was going to end up having to take. Lucky for me, Wingspan's foster instantly texted one of our rescue partners and asked her to ask me if I would take this super sweet, heartworm negative, already neutered, dog-friendly, cat-friendly, kid-friendly, all-around perfect dog for her if she fostered the beagle for me. It was a no-brainer. Total win-win for me. So I agreed, and that night, my mangy beagle, who went on to be Trixie on the January 31st cutesy name transport, she was safe and sound, warm and dry, being treated for mange, and so happy. Then I found out there were two more brothers of this dog that I was agreeing to take. Now, not once has this foster even hinted around asking me to take the other two and take all three of them. She knew from the start that the deal was for one dog and one dog only. But how can I hear a story like this? Know that this foster has put so much of her own time and money into these dogs and not help her. So Wingspan is the only one going today because we don't want to overwhelm and overcrowd the Wolf Trap system with three huge adult dogs. But the foster is bringing all three of them to transport, and I'm going to send the two brothers into our foster care down here until there's room up north for them. She has certainly paid her dues and saved the life of our sweet baby Trixie, who, by the way, went on to be a foster fail almost immediately. So we are very happy to be helping her. Queen of Shadows is our current best girl. We call her Maddie down here. I posted her story on the Fosters page, but here's a quick recap. We got a message on Facebook a few weeks ago from someone who saw this before and after post that we did on the B2Cast page. For newbies and first-time listeners, B2Cast is the Boomville Second Chance Animal Sanctuary. It's the local rescue that I'm on the board of that pulls and fosters animals down here before they go to Virginia. So this guy saw our post we did of the 2024 animals and all the horrible before pictures and then the amazing after pictures and the wonderful stories. And he said seeing that post made him realize how much better off the stray dog in his yard would be with us and like how good her life could be. So he sends us a message saying there's a dog that lives in the drain pipe in his front yard. It's like the dead of winter, 10 degrees and lower. We're getting massive amounts of snow for our area. So we asked him to send us a picture and he sent us the most pitiful, naked, mangy girl ever. We had not one corner of a closet that we could stick her in at the time, but we rushed out there with NexGard, which, if you didn't know, is the only thing that you need to treat or prevent mange, and a ton of food, and then we promised to come back as soon as the next transport left. Well, transport leaves a few days later, and Jessica literally sprints out there to get her, and she's nowhere to be found. The man hadn't seen her since the day before. He had no idea where she was. And it wasn't until like 4 or 5 more days that she just showed back up. And luckily, he held on to her that time. And Jessica raced out there to get her. She took her home. She got her all set up in her dog pen outside with this super cozy blanket and this real big, nice doghouse. And Maddie was in heaven for 2 days. It lasted 2 whole days. And then she realized when Jess leaves every time, she goes into a nice big house with other dogs and cats, and Maddie was not about to be left out. So she dug and clawed her way out of that kennel, completely bloodying her fragile little face, and ran up to Jessica's front door like, okay, let me in too. But Jess has a chihuahua from hell who may or may not be the reason I say chihuahuas are scarier than pit bulls. Sorry, Sugar. So she usually keeps all of her fosters outside so that Sugar doesn't eat them. But Maddie was just too sweet and too pitiful to put back outside. So she brought her in and Maddie instantly became a couch potato, full on lap dog, assumes anytime you sit or lie down that you're inviting her to come cuddle with you. And I know you're thinking, like, what? You couldn't take the mange beagle because she was contagious and you were worried about your baby, but Jess is cuddling this mange dog on her couch? Well, that's because there's actually 2 types of mange. Sarcoptic mange is of the devil. It is horribly itchy, insanely contagious, and caused by tiny mites that burrow into your skin and crawl around. It's also called scabies, like for people. It is horrible. And Demodex mange is itchy, but not nearly as bad, not at all contagious between other dogs or animals or people. And it only affects dogs with poor immune systems. So a mite that lives in the hair follicles of dogs will overpopulate and the dog's immune system isn't able to get it under control. So they're treated and prevented with the same thing, a single NexGard pill. So it usually doesn't matter which one it is. We don't bother taking them to the vet for a skin scrape to tell us which one because we just give them a NexGard regardless. But because Maddie was so desperate to get inside Jessica's body, she went ahead and just took her to the vet to find out if she was contagious or not. So they scrape off the skin and the hair follicles in a few spots and look at it under a microscope to see which mite it is. And lucky for Jessica, it was Demodex. we really had no problem fostering Maddie longer until she grew back more hair and would be more adoptable, but Sugar might have killed her in her sleep if she stayed until the next transport. So for her safety, it was best that she left. Plus, we knew she would be so much happier in Virginia anyways. Elaine was a stray. She wandered up to someone's house several weeks ago. They are from up north, so they immediately assumed that she was someone's pet and she was just lost. So they took her in, they fed her, they kept her safe while they looked for this distraught and loving owner. Of course, there was no one looking for her. So they had her for several weeks, and then they told someone that they were going to take her to the shelter in their town so that they could find her a home. And the people said, they're not going to find her a home. They're going to euthanize her in a matter of days. So the owners were horrified. I actually don't know that they ever even did anything to find a rescue to take her. They never posted her on Facebook. But someone else in a different town with a different dog who they do not know in any way, shape, or form posted about a dog they were looking to find a rescue for. And when we commented on that post offering to take that dog, that was a doodle, by the way, this lady pounced on us begging that we take this puppy for her too, which we didn't really want. I mean, she's cute. She's fine. I'm happy to take her. But she was an hour away from us and we didn't have a foster for her. But like, how bad would that have made us look if we were like, yes, we will take this doodle that everybody and their mothers would also take, but this cute little lab puppy that's 60 miles from here? No, thank you. So, of course, we agreed to take her, and we went out and vaccinated her a few days later. And again, the lady was like, are you sure she's not just going to get euthanized? But we told her all about Wolf Trap, and she felt so much better. And she agreed to keep her for us until transport. So she's supposed to bring her tomorrow, and I'm kind of wondering if she's even going to show up tomorrow or if she's just going to say she loves her too much and she has to keep her. We shall see. Nesta. Okay. Okay, so you know how I tell you all the time how we have group names or like Wolf Trap South names for animals so that we down here know and remember who we're talking about. So like Kirk Mama came from Dr. Kirk's office, and the washer machine litter came from the house with 100 washer machines in their front yard. Feral Carol was the puppy that was feral that we got from Carol. Okay, you get it. Well, poor little Nesta. She might have the worst name ever. We call her Butt Dog. B-U-T-T Dog. Yes, anytime we are talking about her down here, we lovingly refer to her as Butt Dog. And that is because we got a call about her several weeks ago, and they said that something might be wrong with her rear area. And then they sent us a picture of her, and she had a full-on prolapsed rectum hanging out of her. It was gnarly, like hanging out a good inch and a half. So we told her, take the puppy to the vet when they open first thing the next morning, and we'll pay for everything, and then we'll just pick her up from there when it's all done. So the vet got her all put together and stitched back up, and we were a little worried because we had a prolapsed rectum dog a few years ago who we were all just madly in love with. But every time they would take her stitch out, her rectum would just immediately fall right back out. So after months of trying so many different things, we had to put her to sleep, and it gutted us. So we were all holding our breaths when Butt Dog got her stitch out. Of course, she would not have gotten the name Butt Dog if she wouldn't have made a 100% recovery and been totally fine. We would have named her like Beautiful Baby Butt Dog or something if she had to be euthanized. It would have been a lot sweeter. But she's been with us for over a month just to be sure it wasn't going to fall out again. She is doing so great. The vet said that she had an extremely heavy worm load, which caused her to have massive diarrhea, and that's what caused the prolapse rectum. That's what causes most prolapse rectums too, is the intense diarrhea. She spent the majority of her time in Jessica's foster shed, but last week she was finally healthy enough and vaccinated enough to go to doggy daycare, and she has had a ball playing with everybody. I bet she is going to sleep the entire first half of the foster period when she gets up there. Bryce, or Millie, as her owners called her, she is in owner surrender. They adored her, but unfortunately, when their landlord found out that they had her, he told them that he was raising their rent $100 a month if they didn't get rid of her. And the owners are very young and definitely couldn't afford that, especially after just buying a silver lab puppy. So they asked their best friend, who is one of our new rescue partners, if she would take her and find a rescue. She posted her on Facebook and we nabbed her up. Okay, the D-litter of two. If you are looking at the two of them right now, I know you think that I have lost my mind calling them a litter of two. They are in no way related, but they are from the same home with the same story, so it is just easier for everyone if they have the same name that starts with the same letter. One is a Yorkie, one is a Boston Terrier. Oh, and they are from the same rescue partner as Bryce, but not from the same house at all. Okay. I'll be honest, I don't even totally understand the story I'm about to tell you, but I'm going to start at the beginning and tell you what I know and how it all played out. So this is a new rescue, and they posted some pictures of dogs in terrible living conditions. One of the dogs at the home was dead in the photo. It was dead. It had clearly been dead for quite some time. It got shared all over Facebook. People were all up in arms about finding out who did this and demanding justice and who was going to help these babies. And then the posts were all deleted. And it was like, it was just all done. I was very busy that day that it happened. So like, I didn't read the comments or find out like what was going on at all. So I didn't pay much attention to why it was deleted. About a week later, this rescue posted the Yorkie on Facebook looking for a rescue. I told her we'd be happy to take her. And then she asked me if we'd take the Boston too. Again, it's like so many baits and switches in the rescue world. But like, we're not cherry pickers, so we're gonna take the Yorkie and, you know, take the Boston too. We're not just gonna leave one. So I said, we'll take them both. We're not gonna leave anybody behind. And when I asked what their story was and where they were from, she said they had an elderly owner who passed away and left all their dogs behind. And then I started thinking. So I said, are they from the same home as the dead dog that you posted about? She said, yes. But like that, she just said, yes. Like she wasn't like, yes, let me tell you the story. So when my mom met her mom, because that's what we do in the rescue world, we make our mothers do all of our running around. My mom met her mom to pick up the dogs and take them into our foster care. So she found out more of the stories. So come to find out, the owner had multiple dogs outside and I think four dogs inside total. I don't know. I'll come back to that. Put a pin in that. So she died. Her son lives in California and he didn't want to deal with rehoming all of the dogs. So he rented out the mom's house to somebody and told them part of their rent was taking care of all of these dogs. I have a lot of thoughts about that, but I'll keep it to myself. I don't know how long the tenant lived there. I don't know if the son slash landlord knew that he left or if he just stopped paying rent and walked out. I don't know. But somehow, the dog in the kennel went without food and water for so long that it passed away. The dogs in the yard were able to forage for food and water and survive, but they were super skinny and very malnourished. And the dogs in the house were able to survive, I guess, on just whatever food was left behind for them or just people food. Apparently, the tenant is in jail right now, currently, maybe for this animal cruelty charge. I don't know. Or maybe he went to jail and that's why the dog died. I don't know. I don't know a lot of this. But when the post went around, people looked up who owned the home and started blasting the homeowner, the landlord, in the comments, calling him this animal killer and this terrible person. And I guess when they found out it wasn't technically his fault, they just deleted the post. According to the rescue, the outside dogs are feral. I don't know if that's like legit feral and they just need to be trap, neuter, released, or if they're just scared until you catch them and then they're the sweetest dogs you've ever met. But regardless, I told her since we were taking the two super cute, super adoptable small dogs that we would pay to have two of the outside dogs spayed or neutered when they're caught. And if they're not feral, we'll of course take them too. And I didn't understand if she meant there were two more little dogs inside or if there were two little dogs inside and they're the two that we took. I'm pretty sure that they were the only two inside. They're the only two in the pictures that were posted. But I told her, after everything is all said and done and everybody's caught, send me a head count. let me know who's vicious and who's friendly, and we'll see what else we can help with. But in the meantime, we also gave her a ton of supplies, vet meds, and we committed to 7 animals total in her rescue. So she is very grateful for us right now. They're still trying to catch the outside dogs. I guess the owner is kind of being a jerk now, which is why I'm not so like, oh, I understand why you're renting out your mother's home and asking the tenants to take care of the dogs. I think he's kind of a jerk. He told them that all of the dogs had to be gone by end of the day today, Friday. But one, he's in California. What is he going to do about, like, how are you enforcing this? They have to be gone or what? Like, you're going to fly out here? No, you're not. And two, if these actual legit rescuers who know how to trap dogs can't trap or catch them, how is this random guy from California going to just stroll up, catch them, and haul them off somewhere? You're not even, like, where are you going to take them? I don't know. I don't know a lot of things about these two and their story, but at least we've got them now and they're safe, and I'll keep everyone posted on the other dogs. I am certain that we will end up taking more from this situation. The S litter of two are our last minute add-ons. Jacqueline didn't think that we were going to have enough fosters for everyone on my list this week, but we did by the skin of our teeth. And so to celebrate, I asked her if I could add two more. These two were picked up by animal control earlier this week. A guy called the animal control officer on Friday asking him to come get them, and animal control tried to put it off because that's just what he does. But then the man called back on Monday and said that the puppies were pooping in his yard and he wanted them gone by the end of the day. How dare these puppies poop in his yard? So animal control had to go get them. And then Jessica went and got them the next day because we don't like to leave puppies at this shelter. One, because it is a kill shelter. But two, they are at risk of getting or spreading parvo. So we like to get them out as soon as possible every time. The M litter of two are from one of our longtime fosters. She got a text from one of the assisted living homes where she works saying that there were 3 puppies huddled against the side of the building on one of those like mornings when it was in the teens outside. So she went to get them and she could only find 2. No one ever saw the 3rd one again. So I don't know if they miscounted originally or if one of those old ladies there has a puppy that she snuck in her room. Our foster has had them for several weeks now. She had them during the week that we had sub-zero wind chills. And of course, they were inside with her. But her chihuahua, who is not a demon chihuahua, it's actually a sweet chihuahua, her chihuahua was super old and was dying. So she rotated that whole week, sleeping on the couch with the puppies, and then back in bed with the dying chihuahua to try and keep everybody happy and quiet and calm during the night. Sadly, her chihuahua did end up passing away, but it was like literally like 20 years old. It was insanely old. It passed away a few days later, but the puppies really helped take her mind off of everything, and she was really glad to have them during that time. The T litter of 3 are owner surrenders. A man was giving them away in the Walmart parking lot, and a lady just took them all so that they wouldn't fall into the wrong hands. And then she went inside and chewed out the manager for allowing this in the parking lot, because it is technically illegal. If you see someone trying to sell or give away animals in the Walmart parking lot, it's illegal. I don't think they do that. I don't think anybody listening lives lives in a place where they do that, but it is illegal, just FYI. She moved down here from up north, so again, is horrified by the Southerners' treatment of animals. She has a really bad back and she walks with a brace, but she still kept these puppies inside in a room away from all of her other animals, and she has taken fantastic care of them. She is very thankful that we are taking them, and we are very thankful that she saved their lives. The R litter of three are from our bottle feeder foster. Their mom was hit by a car and killed, and the owner posted them on Facebook needing someone to take the newborn babies. There were eight when our foster went and got them, but by the time that they were able to get them, the lady had been at work. The five of the puppies had gone so long without milk that they ended up passing away within the next few hours. These three have done great though. The A litter of eight are also from our bottle feeder foster, but they did not bottle feed these. Actually, they still have the mama of this litter, and we're hoping to send her in the next few transports. Our foster, unfortunately, fosters four other rescues as well, which we hate for a lot of reasons, but the least selfish one is because we can't keep good track of like what diseases or viruses or sicknesses the other fosters have that they may spread to ours or vice versa. Thankfully, she mainly does newborn babies who don't have anything to spread, so we've been really lucky so far. Anyways, another rescue posted this mama who was just absolutely skin and bones and nine super skinny and pitiful puppies. Our foster, of course, opened her home immediately to them. One of the puppies was doing so bad that they thought it was dead when they got it, so they brought it inside, bottle feeding it, worked on it day and night trying to get it back to health. It ended up somewhat recovering, but it still seemed pretty off, and they actually have a really good friend who specializes in special needs dogs, and so she adopted that one. So there were eight puppies left. The rescue that they were fostering for was hoping to send all of these puppies and the mom to a northern rescue in the beginning of January when they were all still nursing. But it's been almost 3 months now and the rescue cannot find anyone to take them. All of their northern partners are shut down right now. They actually told my foster that they would pay to have them all spayed and neutered if the foster would just keep them all. Keep eight puppies and a mom. Like, keep them forever. That is so mind-blowing to me that anyone would ever suggest that to anyone. There is no one that needs eight puppies from one litter and a mom forever. So when our foster dropped off the P litter mama and her puppies last transport that they were fostering for us, she mentioned how amazed she was by how many moms and puppies that we were able to send on transport that day because she saw the other mamas loaded on the van already. That's when she said she's been fostering a mom and puppies for another rescue for 10 weeks and she might just have to keep them forever. So when I told her to ask the rescue if the rescue would be okay if Wolf Trap took them, she said, she wants me to keep them forever. She asked me. So if I'm the owner now, I'm saying I'm sending them to you. So we're still TBD on the mom. I hope that we'll get to send her in the next few weeks, but they are going to decide if they do want to keep her forever or not. And if the rescue is okay with us taking her, I think they paid to have her spayed already. So they might just want her because they invested money in her. I'm not sure. We're hoping to get her though. But that's two fosters now that are going to be so insanely happy tomorrow because we are taking their long-term fosters that they were potentially going to be stuck with forever. But because of Wolf Trap, not only are the dogs going to be happy and find forever homes, but these people are going to be so, so happy and they're going to have room to foster even more now. And that is just reason number 59 million why Wolf Trap fosters and adopters are the best ever. The C litter of eight are owner surrenders. A family moved and left behind their pregnant dog. After the puppies were born, the mom and the puppies made their way over to a neighbor's house. She reached out to us saying she didn't have enough money to care for 9 puppies now that they were eating dog food, and she needed us to take the puppies. She asked us if we would take the mom too and said that it just broke her heart to get rid of her, but she can't afford to spay her and she can't afford to take care of the puppies that she will keep having. So when we told her that we would pay to spay the mom for her since she was surrendering the whole litter, she almost cried. Unfortunately, the afternoon that we went to get them, the owner sent us a text saying that one of the puppies had been attacked by something a few days prior, and when she took it to the vet that morning, the vet had to euthanize it because it was so sick and so infected and suffering so badly that he didn't think there was any chance of it surviving. He said he didn't know what attacked it. He didn't think that it was a litter mate because it was a lot of damage. And he didn't think that it was the mom because the other puppies would have had some sort of damage too, probably. So we're wondering if it was like a coyote. I don't know. Maybe it was a raccoon. I don't know. Something big got a hold of it though. There are no kittens this week because there are no kittens anywhere in the South right now. I have checked with all of our partners. No one has kittens. I'm not even kidding. We have one mama with newborn kittens at the Alabama shelter, but they all are super sick with an upper respiratory infection, and I was afraid that transport would just be too much stress on them and would make them sicker. And then everyone else is an adult, and nobody this round wanted to foster any adult cats. But hang tight, my kitten cravers. We will be slammed with kittens in about 3 weeks, and I will be begging every one of you to foster 1 or 10. So please, please don't leave us. I will have as many kittens as you want in a few weeks. That is all the stories for this week, but I did want to do a little update on a previous story. I know you guys love when I tell you super sad stories going on down here that have nothing to do with Wolf Trap. When I was telling you the D litter of 4 story on the cutesy name transport, so that was like Dear, Darling, Dollface, Dream, maybe it was Dream, I don't know. They were on the January 31st transport. I mentioned that we had helped this owner previously, and I fostered his dog for him while he was in prison. This is also the home where Homer for the Holidays came from. Well, Jessica went to pick up the D litter mama and take her to her spay appointment, and the owner told her that that little dog that I fostered for him was murdered. Literally murdered in cold blood. Oh my gosh. He said he had a squabble. He said he had a squabble with his neighbors a few weeks ago and he beat one of them up. And they retaliated by killing his dog. They stabbed the dog to death. I am so horrified and I am so sad. Like, he was feral and he bit me and I was not at all happy about keeping him, but we ended up being best friends by the time he left and I loved him. And the owner, who is very clearly a very hot mess, he did take such good care of his dogs, especially that little guy, and I know how much he loved that dog. He was like a little corgi mix. Ugh. I am so upset. Jessica told me about it earlier today, and I've not stopped thinking about it since. I'm sad for the owner. I'm devastated for the dog. I'm horrified that there's people like this in our sweet little town. Ugh, this whole thing is so awful. So on that note, thanks for listening. Sorry we're ending it on such a bummer. We do have another transport coming just 7 days from now. It is next Saturday. So let me know if you need help signing up for that, because we have got some insanely cute puppies coming on that transport and you are not going to want to miss out on them. It's a rough life, but someone's got to do it.